Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. And if you're looking right now on our YouTube or Facebook channels on Omega Radio or New Wine Ministry TV, you'll see the wonderful smile and face of Daniel Seckham. It's nearly 2 o'clock in the morning over there in Australia. Good morning, Daniel. How are you today, sir?
I'm good for 2 o'clock in the morning.
Is it 2 o'clock? I'm so sorry. I know we try to do these little recordings, but you know, This is where it fits. This is it. And we have missed you so much again. We haven't heard from you. And I think people just start getting, you know, what happens when you don't, you just kind of start going, getting depressed. And so people said, where is he? Where is he? And I said, well, I think he's still on the island. So what's going on, young one?
Oh, gosh, there's a bit going on down here. So all the fires are all gone. Now, I'm not sure if you noticed that we had a massive downpour. We had, you know, it's so funny because Aussie summers are full of fires and floods. So after the fire, we got the massive floods. And so now we've got mosquitoes and now we've got, our grass is growing so fast because of we've had all the rain and all the sunshine. So it's just, yeah, it's pretty crazy, but this is an ordinary Aussie summer.
Oh, so you're in the summertime right now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you went through spring into summer already.
Absolutely.
Nice. We're still in winter. It's like 30 degrees here today. It's freezing. We had snow last night.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, it's miserable.
Well, it's been in the high 90s.
90s.
Yeah.
Daniel, how come you haven't invited us to Australia yet?
We're working on it, brother.
We're working on it. I love it. Can't wait to be there. You know, with all the fires, honestly, that normally produces a brand new crop, and it's usually going to turn out beautiful, all things working together for good. But the flooding, that's not so good, is it, for the island?
No. I mean, we had massive flooding in places where I never thought it would ever flood. Mm. So, yeah, it was pretty extraordinary. Again, it just kind of adds to the hairy phenomenon of all these different events that are happening all over the world at the moment. So,
yeah, because in Australia, this wasn't a natural occurrence for you guys, these kind of fires and the shakings. I mean, it was a little different, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And I think there were natural causes, but also I think there is a possibly spiritual cause behind it. But the natural cause was because of the Indian Ocean dipole, which is a weather system that basically had caused the prolonged dryness and the droughts and the warmer temperatures. But that Indian Ocean dipole had broken down and had moved away, which meant that rain, wetter weather, as well as slightly not so warm temperatures came to Australia, which was very, very welcome. And in fact, it was probably about a couple of weeks after they announced that the Indian Ocean dipole had broken down that the weather, that we noticed the rain started coming on strong. So, yeah, so there is a natural explanation for it. But I also believe that there is also the spiritual explanation for it. I believe that, you know, see, you cannot expect for God's hand of blessing to be upon a nation if it pursues rebellious agendas. You know, if it, if the nation pursues, goes down a road of absolute immorality and sin like you wouldn't believe, and enshrining into its legislation that a man can marry a man, then of course you can't expect that hand of protection to stay on the nation. I mean, God is going to remove that hand of protection. And especially when you consider some of the barbaric abortion laws where abortions are permitted up to birth in a lot of our state's legislation, then of course you're going to expect that God is not going to bless that, you know. And so Australia for many, many years, I mean, for as long as I can remember, we've been known as the lucky country. And I think it was an atheist that came up with that, because if it was a Christian, they would have said it was the blessed country.
Right.
We're starting, you know, we really were kind of taken aback by the severity of the fires. And I believe that you can attribute it to God taking his hand off nation. And I believe that if we continue going down this road, if we continue to shake our fist at God and spit in his face, I believe that we can expect more and more difficulties in the road ahead.
And those difficulties are global. I mean, the pandemics and the famines and the earthquakes and the floods and the fires and the hurricanes and the volcano eruptions, the unrest within the nations of the earth, the divisions within governments. Here in the United States last night, I guess it was, or was it Monday, where they had the Democratic debates. And yet one walks away from watching these Democratic debates and it's almost like you want to just laugh and turn the page and go somewhere else and think there's nothing on the left that's going to contend with Donald J. Trump. But isn't it interesting, Daniel, that right now the president of the United States, since the moment he walked into this office of the highest office in the land, that he's been confronted with Russian collusion. He's been dealing with school shootings in Parkland, Florida. He's had to deal with a lot of tragedies, and now we get through this impeachment thing, and the very first thing coming out of the gate is a stirring of what's going on in Israel. He wants the two-state solution, so to speak. That gave a little bit of a backlash, and now it is the coronavirus. I mean, this president has been confronted. George W. Bush, he was confronted with 9/11, and then they kind of went from there, but it's like one after another event, and I'm just wondering, isn't that a little odd? And it seems like maybe the globalist community is just throwing these things at them. And your thoughts about that?
It could be possible. You know, there's a lot of conjecture in regard to the origins of the coronavirus. Of course, there's the conjecture over whether it actually was caused because of eating bats and kind of other illicit foods.
Snakes, bats, yeah.
Yeah, all those different crazy things. although, you know, there you need to understand that there is a biological warfare laboratory that actually is based in Wuhan, not far from where the so-called ground zero of where the virus began to originate. Mm-hmm. So it is very, very plausible. In fact, there's quite a number of different articles that have been put out there by reputable media agencies, including the New York Post, that have actually said, don't buy the Chinese story. Don't listen to the Chinese government. In other words, what they're saying is that this thing actually came out of a lab. And I tend to agree with that. I don't trust the Chinese government at all. I believe that the coronavirus or the novel coronavirus is actually originated in a lab. Now, by the way, I need to actually mention, I think the last time we spoke, we were talking about the coronavirus. We were talking about how this is a different strain of coronaviruses, because coronaviruses are like a family. But the corona, the novel corona, is a completely different, is a different strain of the coronavirus, also known as COVID-19. By the way, last time we chatted about that, I think it was because I was just so tired, but I mentioned that the strain of coronavirus was Novotel coronavirus.
Isn't that like a chocolate peanut buttery thing, Novotel?
Novotel is actually in a hotel chain.
Okay.
And I've actually stayed in the Novotel hotel before. My apologies to that company. I'm really sorry.
Okay.
So don't drink a Corona at the Novotel.
Exactly. All right. So we got through that one. Now, this coronavirus, here's what I'm looking at. We're all studying this. There's a downplay from the president of the United States. And, you know, because there seems to be some economic thing. I was sharing, I don't know if I shared with you or not, but in 1981, there was a novel written by Dan Koontz. I think it was Dean Koontz, called The Eyes of Darkness.
Yep.
And it was about a Wuhan 400 virus that escaped out of the laboratories in 1981, Daniel. And then if you look on movies like Contagion or Breakout or Pandemic or Flu, I mean, there's 70 different movies out there that have been made in the last 20 to 30 years that are all about this idea. And a lot of it is, they even go into the realm of terrorists, that rather than putting a bomb on their back and walking into a mall, they get sick and they walk through society and they create this environment. So you wonder, you know, this has been around for so long in the thinking of people. Is this a self-fulfilling prophecy?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I think the book that Dean Koontz wrote, I think, is very interesting. I mean, that it really is phenomenal.
Yeah.
The fact that he actually mentioned the very city where it originated from.
Yeah.
There's another book too written, I think it's called The End of Days, written by I think her name is Patricia. I forget her name, but there's another book where she actually pinpoints the actual year and says that in this particular year there will be a particular virus spread that will attack the bronchial. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, there's a few of them going around, but I think it's interesting. I think, and again, we're still in the, first few months of this new decade.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. So I think it's extraordinary what we've already begun to witness. I mean, from the very first days of January, there was a confrontation with Iran, you know, wars and rumors of wars, and we had dormant and extinct volcanoes coming back to life, and they're still doing that, you know, and all of a sudden we had the massive locust plague that began in the northeastern Africa that began to, cover but almost all of northeast Africa and went up into Saudi Arabia and went east into Pakistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, India, and now has actually arrived in China. Mm. So it's just extraordinary how we're seeing all these these plagues. And now there's actually news articles coming out about a severe famine happening in Somalia. So all the things that Jesus kind of mentioned in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13 are definitely on the radar at the moment. Yeah, absolutely crazy.
You know, that's,
and,
yeah, that's amazing. You use the term on the radar. We were talking about Katrina and how for days that storm was on the radar and some people took heed to it or not. But another thing going on in our society, in the world today, happened to turn on EWTN, which is a Catholic news station. Well, I got the part of the Catholic news last night. And the woman that was talking was from Nigeria, and she was talking about the Nigerian persecution of Christians. And she said it's now come to an alarming rate that the terrorist organizations in Nigeria have taken over the government, and thousands upon thousands and thousands of Nigerians are being slaughtered. And we're not hearing it in the major news networks, but it's a reality. So you kind of couple the volcanoes erupting, the earth shaking. And Daniel, by the way, when I hear those kinds of reports, the fires burning, the earth shaking, the volcanoes bursting, hurricanes flowing, it reminds me of scripture that says that the earth can no longer stomach the sin, and it begins to convulse. And that's all the way back in the Old Testament to the book of Revelation, that the earth will vomit out the inhabitants thereof. And so it's almost like an organism called earth is shaking under the violent oppression of mankind's sin. And it's just reacting right now. Is that, you know, are you seeing that along with everything else?
Definitely. In fact, previously you had nations and civilizations that would become completely debauched and degenerate, and basically the earth would spew out these nations. But the different thing with what's happening now is that the sin is global. It's no longer one particular nation. Like this sin, this massive increase of wickedness that Jesus talked about would present itself in the last days is happening all over the world. The last time that happened was in the days of Noah, hence why God destroyed the world with flood. But this is, we're in the new days of Noah, that Jesus spoke about, as it will be in the days of Son of Man. And if you read in Genesis 6, it says that the thoughts of men was wickedness all the time. And we are living in these times at the moment. And there's no doubt in my mind that we are living in the days of Noah. Every time you see that rainbow flag, it's basically a sign to us that we are in the days of Noah. So it's harrowing times at the moment. And again, this is not just a regional phenomenon. This is not a particular city or a particular nation. This is a global phenomenon where there is wickedness happening all over the globe, from South America to Russia to Europe to, you know, even to Australia. So it's happening on a global level, and the earth is in travailing. The earth is basically getting ready to vomit out its inhabitants.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that we concern ourselves with when we are out here on video, audio, broadcasting, proclaiming, is that there's so much right now proclamation, and the alarm bells have been ringing for many years, particularly in my understanding, in this country since 9/11, the alarm bells have never stopped ringing, and the voice of many trumpets have been raised up, and the trumpets have been blowing, the red alarms have been going off. All the alarms are flying about the days that we're living in, but I fear that some of God's children, maybe a lot more than I'm thinking, are going to become disinterested with, you know, the idea of the ringing alarm bells, because people are kind of getting overwhelmed. Now the coronavirus, the end of the world, and back then the end of the world, the end of the world, the end of the world. And my fear is that people will begin to say, I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to hear this anymore. And is that a concern? Do you see that as something plausible? Or is this a time for the alarm bells to be ringing even louder?
Well, already there are a bunch of nations that have actually gone into panic mode. In fact, there are... In Italy, many supermarkets within Italy, the shelves are empty,
right,
because the people have gone into panic mode and they've basically bought everything they possibly can get, you know, spinning up big on necessary items such as toilet paper and all those different things. So panic has already set in into some particular nations, especially in the Middle East at the moment. Iran is in a lot of trouble with the coronavirus. Even the health minister himself has actually contracted the disease.
Wow.
So that's really interesting. Now, from Iran has infected the rest of the Middle East. So there's cases that have been emerged in Afghanistan, in Bahrain, in Iraq, and in Saudi Arabia. So it's going across the Middle East. It's going across Europe at the moment. And already it's deeply embedded into South Korea. So it's gaining traction. Now, I think the World Health Organization is trying to play it down and saying, let's remain calm about it. But health departments all over the world are basically preparing for the worst. In fact, I believe that Trump has already issued his departments to prepare. So it's going to be interesting to see how all this unfolds. But at the end of the day, us as Christians, I mean, we don't need to be caught up in any panic. I mean, we already knew that the last days was going to come with a certain degree of tumult and upheaval. So we can be at complete peace while all this is going on around us. So if anything, it just reminds us that we are living in the last days and we need to keep our eyes on him.
You know, Daniel, and I totally agree with that. One of the things that strikes me, again, I was saying last night how I marvel at how the Holy Spirit is moving right now. I do believe that there is a clarion call of the kingdom of God to his people upon this earth. I mean, we are witnessing the signs of the times en masse globally all at the same time in a very unique generation that witnesses Israel becoming a nation again and the rise of technologies like nanotechnology and artificial intelligence. Our generation is very, very unique. And within the context of all that's going on in our world today, the Holy Spirit, he kind of gives us these four warnings. I still believe that the Amos chapter 8 prophecy is in view, and I see that while it was being broadcasted last spring, that with this election cycle that we're moving into, that we may see the fulfillment of that. But I also, just a few weeks ago, even before the coronavirus issue came abroad, was reading this, and I thought it's very interesting. Therefore shall evil come upon you, speaking of Babylon, thou shalt not know from whence it rises, and mischief shall fall upon you. You shall not be able to put it off. Desolation shall come upon you suddenly, which shall not be known. And so this is Isaiah chapter 47, and I thought, well, what would possibly come to our nation that we wouldn't know where it came from? And nobody knows the origin of this coronavirus. And we wouldn't be able to put it off. In other words, you won't be able to stop it or sustain it. Yesterday, I think one of the news ministries out there was talking about the CDC in a news article. They were speaking of, and she kept saying the pandemic, and that the communities in America need to be preparing. And she's already gone to her school community with her kids asking, what are you guys doing to prepare for what's coming? This is the head of the CDC. I mean... Mm. So it's very interesting. Is this possibly a judgment that is coming into our land for the rebellion that we have stoutly withstood the grace of God?
I think these are all what we're experiencing right now is a sharp pain that a woman would experience in childbirth.
Good.
This
well
is
said.
This is definitely a birth pang. We need to keep that in mind because this is exactly what Jesus said would happen. He said there will be periods where there will be sharp contractions. And this is one of these contractions. And keep in mind, as it is with a woman who enters into labor, the contractions are going to grow more intense, and they're going to become closer together until they are so close together and so intense that all of a sudden it ushers in the birth of the baby. So this is what we are to expect, and so I believe that we'll probably experience another period of calm, but then after that, you'll see it all ramp up again, and it'll all come to a head. So within the coming days, we could very well see a major earthquake. We could very well see a major terrorist attack. But these are the birth pains. We need to keep that in mind, that that there is a sequence of what Jesus talked about, and we can expect waves is probably another better way of describing it.
Okay. Well, very good. So you go back and you talk about a birth pang, and a woman, she's giving birth to a child in the womb, and it's making its entrance into the world. Well, in Revelation 12, we have two birthings. We have the birth of a man-child, recorded in Revelation 12. We also have the birthing, if you will, or the entrance into the world in the same chapter of Satan and his angels being kicked out of the second heaven and making landfall on planet Earth. So the birthing of all that is going on right now, it certainly does line up scripturally that what is being birthed is the greatest tribulation to ever hit the face of the Earth. And so these are the signs that are foretelling us what is coming. It's not first the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is first going to happen is the man of sin has to be revealed, and the apostasy or the backsliding or the falling away has to happen. Speak into that.
Yeah, we definitely need to see the apostasy. And I think we're already beginning to see, oh gosh, I mean, there is so much apostasy that's going on in the Western church at the moment. Within America at the moment, it's just absolutely stunning to see. The fact that even in the Southern Baptist Convention, there's a huge split. There has been the formation of the Conservative Baptist Organization, which is kind of like a separate, it's not a new denomination, but it's a new chapter basically set up within the SBC. We've seen the United Methodists split over the issue of homosexuality. And I think we're going to see more and more of this happen. And what is an interesting phenomenon is that it is the mainline churches that are driving this apostasy, the mainline churches. So I'm not talking about evangelicals per se or Pentecostals per se, but I'm talking about Episcopalians, all that kind of the mainline kind of, you know, the Methodists. They are tending to be at the forefront of this apostasy. But that said, I mean, the Baptists are also being affected by this. In the news this week, there was another Baptist-affiliated churches that decided to pull out of the Baptist umbrella because they were wanted to be inclusive of LGBT people. So they basically fell away. So what I do think is interesting is that the churches that are really holding fast to sound doctrine, and this sounds really funny, but a lot of the Pentecostal churches. Now, this is interesting. Pentecostal churches that really hold on to the teaching of the Holy Spirit, and that we can be that the Holy Spirit is active, and that the Holy Spirit is, you know, with all the functions of the Holy Spirit that you read in Scripture, is active today in leading His people. For those who are led by the Spirit of God, Amen, are the sons of God. Mm-hmm. So what is interesting? What does the Holy Spirit represent? Well, it represents oil. Spirit represents oil. And cast your mind to Matthew chapter 25, where we come to the parable of the 10 virgins. And the five wise wives that made it till the end were the ones who had enough oil. They were the ones who were led by the Spirit of God. And I think that's a really important takeaway that we can get from what we're seeing happening in our modern culture.
Well, absolutely. And you're bringing up something that I'm going to actually be ministering tonight at a Bible study It's the doctrine of cessationism is what you're talking about. Mm. You know, it's the cessation of all kinds of apostolic ministry, the fivefold ministry, cessationism of the functioning power, the operative power of the Holy Spirit. And they always run concurrent with, well, if there are no apostles, then there's no more signs and wonders. There's no more miracles. There's no more active power of the Holy Spirit to cast out devils, heal the sick, raise the dead. And then that always couples with the pre-tribulational rapture. Once saved, always saved. Christians can't have demons and mere Christianity. It's, and Paul, the apostle, writes to us that we're not to be just mere men in our walk with Jesus. So very important. We've got a call coming in. I want to make sure that we're receiving these calls. Let me just take quickly 479-366. Good morning. Did you have a question this morning? Welcome to the broadcast. Hello, 479-366. Are you there? Okay, that must have been they just pressed one on their dial pad. All right, so I trust that we're still going through loud and clear. We want to welcome everybody watching right now on Facebook. We're on the Omega Radio channel on Facebook, and we're also broadcasting live on YouTube at New Wine Ministry TV. Daniel Seckham is joining us on both of these platforms and, of course, on omegaradio.org 24/7 and Blog Talk Radio. So we're glad to be out here, Daniel, to get the Word of God out. Go ahead, proceed. What is in your heart that you really want to just lay forth to the body of Christ today? What is the Spirit of God saying?
Well, I thought I'd mention something else that I thought that came up in the news cycle, which I thought was worthy of mentioning. Some of you might remember of a man who, in the early days of the Bush administration, helped to set up the Department of Homeland Security, and his name was Philip Haney. I'm not sure if you are aware of him, but he was just basically he was murdered. He was, in fact, when the news first broke out, basically there was it was saying that it was a suicide, not a suicide at all. I mean, the fact was that he was shot in the chest. Not many suicides actually shoot themselves in the chest. And Philip Haney was a committed Christian. He was a committed Christian. He actually was part of the Holy Convocation conferences out at Ohio with I'm just trying to think of his name. So he was a man of God. He really was. He loved the Lord with all his heart, and he actually even said to a number of his close friends, he says, if you ever get the news that I supposedly killed myself, I didn't kill myself. In fact, he used to carry around his neck a flash drive of incriminating information that he had in regard to members within the Obama administration. Because what actually happened was is that when the Obama came to power, basically, he ordered Philip Haney to basically scrub all of the jihadi operatives, all of the jihadists in their database, basically to scrub them out of the database. If they were an Islamic jihadist, basically he was ordered to get rid of that information. So just incredible. In fact, Google Philip Haney on thehill.com. If you go to the website thehill.com and Google Philip Haney, it'll come up with his story where he actually said what he actually had to do, what he was asked to do, where he had to basically scrub all the different jihadists out of the Department of Homeland Security database. Incredible, you know. And he knew that the deep state was onto him. He knew that that they were, and this is why he prepared. And he said to people, listen, I'm getting a feeling that these people are onto me. So if anything does happen to me, you must know in advance that I didn't kill myself. That and basically it's happened. So I kind of sense that with Trump's looming re-election, and with the fact that Trump is tightening the screws on the swamp, and that he is basically pursuing legal avenues within the Justice Department with Durham. Durham is basically continuing with his investigations and with Bill Barr. I get the feeling that the deep state are freaking out and they know that the net is closing in. And so they're doing what they can in taking out certain people to ensure that basically that they are trying to cover their posterior. That's basically what they're doing.
Of all the swamp monsters, there seems to be one looming monster that has not yet been identified. And I think we're going to probably see that if this thing works. But, you know, it's very concerning on one side. I mean, it's a blowout. As far as the election 2020, it's an absolute blowout. The American people, the real American people, not the socialists, not the communists, not the far left progressives that are, you know, wanting open borders and sanctuary cities and to make the nation open to everybody, take away our Second Amendment rights and all the things that they want to do. The real American people are saying this is not going to change. President Trump's going on for another 4 years. Get used to it. And we'll get used to hearing you cry and complain about it. But it's so absolutely kind of sealed, if you will, that it makes one really consider, well, what kind of response, if you know you're going to lose control and you're going to be exposed, well, then you've got to create some distractions, I would imagine. You want to get, you know, something to happen, an assassination attempt. You know, I don't know what it is, but you can't just rest and, you know, go to the ball game and say, well, Trump's in, it's a no-brainer. You just wonder what this one swamp monster underneath is really thinking.
Well, I think Trump should cut to the chase and go after George Soros.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, George Soros is basically, what you'll find is that he is basically the head of the octopus. He is the head of the snake, in which, I mean, if you could basically deal with Soros, you've basically made your job so much easier. Because he has got so many community action groups underneath him that are working against the Trump's agenda. And if he can deal a blow to Soros and his open foundations, organizations and all his front groups, then I think Trump will be on the winning footing. I think that would be a major coup if he could deal Soros a major blow. That said, I think we need to be patient with the work of Bill Barr. I mean, I think a lot of us are losing a bit of patience, saying, you know, why haven't you arrested anybody? Why hasn't anyone gone to jail yet? Especially with the disturbing news of Stone being sent off to prison for 3 years is absolutely horrendous. And then we get the news that McCabe is set free. McCabe won't be facing any charges. I mean, there really is a two-tier justice system going on that really needs to be addressed. But I think Bill Barr will eventually get to the point where he will be prosecuting, and I think that'll be a good day when that happens. So, what does this tell us? Well, it tells us that corruption is far worse in America than what we knew. The deep state is alive and well. The fact that Philip Haney was murdered should send alarm bells off and should remind everybody that the deep state is alive and well, and the deep state is willing to kill to ensure that they don't get exposed. So we need to continue to pray for Trump and his administration. Pray for Bill Barr, and that that all the Obama holdovers are purged out of the Justice Department, and all the leakers and all the different swamp creatures are removed. We need to continue to pray that Trump can carry out his agenda, and that the deep state is crushed. This is really, really important, because we need to understand that what we are experiencing and what we are looking at is the fruit of 8 years of corrupt government. 8 years of Barack Hussein Obama, who is a devout Marxist. I mean, he was surrounded by Marxists his complete life. And once he got into power, he wreaked havoc. I mean, the media swooned over him, and the media enhanced his image. But what he did behind closed doors was absolutely shameful. I mean, you heard what the testimony of Phil Haney and how he was forced to remove all of the dangerous jihadis out of the Department of Homeland Security database. But that wasn't the end of it. I mean, the Obama administration weaponized the IRS to go after conservative groups. I mean, there is a long list of the things that he has done. In fact, Obama is easily the most biblically hostile president that your nation has ever seen. You probably haven't heard the end of exactly what he's done and how he treated Israel, and how in the final hours of his administration, he wired over $200 million to the Palestinian Authority. So he was a terrible, nasty man and a horrible president. And you guys should be very fortunate that he's gone, and that you've got a leader who is making right decisions for your country.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you would concur that we've had a number of presidents that were very corrupt. The Clintons left body bags of nearly 70 people behind. The corruption is great even in the Bush administration. Their skull and bones, there are so many different trickeries that are involved in politics that I think the majority of people in this country really don't have a genuine trust. There's probably more trust towards Donald J. Trump than they've had in a long time. As far as a particular group of people in this country, we trust the president. But even then, if you're born again, I mean, you've got to check yourself and make sure that you're not trusting any man at this time. But I think there's a general consensus that, you know, we're fighting for our very life right now. We still don't know who killed John F. Kennedy, President Kennedy. We don't know why Jeffrey Epstein was murdered in his prison cell. Somebody's having a lot of power to put away people that could expose some very dark secrets going on in our country and around the world. So you know what I'm saying? It just kind of is that way. So keeping our eyes on Jesus. I've got a call coming in right now. Let's take this call coming in from area code 479-321. Good morning. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air. Do you have a question for Donald Trump or Daniel Seckham? Good morning. 479-321. Are you there? All right. Somebody else must have just put their finger on the button. So if you're out there today and you're listening to this radio broadcast, the number to call 818-369-0326. That's 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad and we'll bring you right into the conversation. If you have any question or comment for Daniel Seckham or for this conversation that we're having, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. Back to you, Daniel. I mean, it's just who do you trust today?
Yeah, it's interesting. And there is a bit of a phenomenon going on. I mean, you know about the Democrat congressman from South New Jersey who defected to the Republican Party because he basically saw what was going on. He saw the corruption within his own party. He says, I don't want any part of that. And what's just happened just recently is that 8 Mississippi elected officials have decided to leave the Democrat Party. That includes independents as well, and have joined the Republican Party. So again, like, this is a phenomenon it's continuing to going on. So the article says that sensing the sentiment in their state has swung toward the Republicans. 8 Mississippi political office holders were either Democrats or independents have joined the Republican Party. And it says Mississippi Republican Party chairman said, we have had a relentless focus on switching conservative Democrats over to the Republican Party. It says that they recognize increasingly that there is only one party that represents the conservative values of our state, and that's the Republican Party. So it just goes to show that more and more are defecting. More people's eyes are being opened to just how utterly corrupt the Democrat Party really is, and especially with the just how far left the party has gone, to the point where the leading contender of the Democrat Party is Bernie Sanders, who is a devout socialist. He is an avowed socialist. Even more so, just last night at the previous presidential debate, he was defending communist states. He was defending communist nations. You know, basically saying, well, he was defending Soviet Russia. He says, well, you know, they had their trains ran on time and they had really good architecture. And I'm like, goodness me, you know. And then he is trying to defend Cuba by saying they had a very good literacy program and all this. And like, the people were just really left aghast, like thinking, is this guy really defending these particular dictatorships? And yes, he is. In fact, when he was newly married, he took his bride on a honeymoon to the Soviet Union. So I believe Bernie Sanders really hasn't met a communist that he doesn't like. I think he really, when you look at the people who he mixes with and who he defends, I mean, he was defending bread lines in an old YouTube video, defending bread lines. And you know, like, there is and when you actually, there was an article that just came out on Daily Wire, but where he was actually came up with his own manifesto for the sexual revolution, encouraging the sexual revolution. So he is the people don't really know who this man is. In fact, I think now that it's become quite clear that Bernie is going to be the leading contender, all the moderate Dems will begin to freak out. And get this, you will see this happen. I believe that more of these moderate Democrats will end up demonizing Bernie and supporting President Trump. In fact, Chris Matthews was actually rebuked from NBC, who basically drew the parallels between Bernie and the rise of Adolf Hitler and the Nazi Party.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. So this would be, in a sense, if everything you're saying moves in that direction, this would be a Josiah revolution in the country, whereas Josiah takes the reins of power and he brings everything down that was offensive to God, and it's the greatest reformation ever. Now, my concern about that is, I mean, I see that the potential of that, and that would be awesome. But at the same time, you know, when do we ever stand accountable? Will we ever stand accountable for the 90 million abortions, the 500 million abortions that have gone around the world, the however many have just happened in the last, you know, 60 days, you know, since we've basically come into this new 2020 year? Is there going to be a justice from the throne of heaven against a nation that has promoted this kind of mass murder and the shedding of innocent blood? That always remains, you know, just kind of a thought in the back of my mind and in my heart. You know, does God just wink an eye at this? You know, or is it everything starting to look really good? And part of the justice of God is saying, well, you know, this is what could have been, but this is what you chose. And so here's the divine retribution. How does that work? Before you answer that question, let's take this call one more time, coming in from 479-321. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
G'day, mate.
That's an ousie cry to you, Daniel.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Can't hear me.
Yeah, we hear you. We hear you.
This is Phil, Daniel. I was saying g'day, mate.
G'day, Phil. Good to hear from you, mate.
How are you doing?
I'm doing really well.
Hey, I was wondering earlier. I had heard that options, just take that back, conspiracy theories are Satan's predictions. So I think that what they try to do with the coronavirus is kind of like terrorize the American voters all of this year, so they won't vote for Trump. I It's some kind of crazy conspiracy, I think.
Well, you know, some are actually wondering whether the coronavirus is actually particularly weaponized, and we discussed earlier whether it was actually created in a lab. Could very well have, in fact. Scientists actually do have the technology to create their own viruses. So, and there just so happened to be a biological warfare laboratory in Wuhan. So it does seem very plausible. Now, what could actually be the implication? So if you were a globalist and you wanted to increase the power of a centralized government, you've got to think how they think. And if you were to release a particular virus, would that work in your favor? Well, would it help to break down the nation state, and would it help to encourage a globalized, like a globalized centralized government? It could. In fact, it depends on how bad it gets. If it gets really bad and nations are completely debilitated and disabled by it, then they could actually cry out to the international body for help. So it could actually work in the globalist favor, where national sovereignty is watered down and the emergency powers of the United Nations are actually enacted. It could work out that way. I guess we will need to wait and see how it all unfolds in the days to come. But, you know, there could be some foul play also in regard to a so-called vaccine. You know, what is it that's going into this particular vaccine? So there is a lot of questions that need to be asked. You know, we just need to be mindful. We know that the globalists will throw anything that they possibly can to try to get nations to subvert their own sovereignty and to yield their sovereignty over to the United Nations. I mean, we've seen that with the whole climate change hoax. I mean, the whole purpose of climate change was to wither away national sovereignty and to concede power, centralized power, over to the United Nations. You know, and there's, you know, Donald Trump basically said that he wasn't going to give the United Nations any more money. So it's very, very convenient that they at this particular moment are crying out and saying it's a climate emergency. It's a climate emergency. It's not a climate emergency. The only emergency that the United Nations has is the fact that they're running out of money, and that's why they're crying out for it. So there's always... the issue is never the issue. There's always something going on. You know, there's always two sides to the story. There's what they project to the public, and there's another completely different agenda that's actually going on behind closed doors. But here's the thing. We need to be careful, because we can go down the road of sensationalism. We can go down the road of conspiracy theory and this and that and aliens and, you know, and all these different crazy tinfoil hat predictions. We have to be careful, because that can be extremely corrosive to ministry if we're going to entertain wild conspiracy theories. So we need to be prayerful. We need to be very discerning and vigilant. And we just need to be grounded in realism and approach things conservatively and to look at through the lens of the Word of God.
Amen. Well said. And it's a great question, Phil. We appreciate that. Just in the last few minutes that we have right now, Daniel, I think we need to be clear that our position, when we look through the biblical lens at the signs of the times, what's going on in the world, and give interpretation to what we see, that we are living in the last days, and we should never be tired of saying we're living in the end of time. Everything around us, it wouldn't be our own short-sightedness or misunderstanding. Everything going on in the world right now is what Yeshua, Jesus, told us that we should be acknowledging And then, as we said yesterday, we don't focus on the things that we see. We don't allow panic and fear to come into our hearts. We should be getting ourselves ready from the inside out for the coming of the Lord and to be able to endure the things that are coming upon this earth. So we're not a people that are frantically running around wanting to put fear in people. That, you know, that's going to happen on its own. People's hearts are going to melt for what they see coming upon this earth. What we're wanting to do is get the body of Christ to recognize what is to be seen. We're to acknowledge it and then prepare ourselves to confront and to endure whatever may come. And we have got to be ready to do this. So we don't want to exclude anybody by fear mongering. God forbid. That's never been the heartbeat of our ministry. But we do need to show people, listen, this is what the Bible says would be happening. It's happening globally right now. And you need to know what's coming. And you need to prepare your ark, your spirit, soul, and body, your thoughts.
Wholeheartedly agree. And as we were saying earlier, I mean, these things are going to come in waves. So they're going to come just like birth pains. So we need to remind ourselves that when these birth pains present themselves, whether they present themselves in the form of a massive earthquake or a natural disasters or a terrorist attack or whatever, or a virus pandemic, we just need to remind ourselves that we are in the last days and these are exactly what Jesus said was going to happen. So we just need to encourage ourselves and know that the white horse is being saddled. And so we can encourage one another to know that the Lord is not that far away, that the things are being prepared. And we can, again, these are the times. I'm telling you, like the people who lived in the past, the people who lived in church history, the people who lived even before the times of the cross, they would have loved to had the privilege of living in the time that we're living in right now. So this is something that we really do need to get excited about.
Yeah, that's an excellent point because all the signs, they were fresh off the press. And many of those signs in Jesus' generation were fulfilled and things did happen. And we are the dualistic, the double portion. We're the people at the end of the end of the end of the ages. And we need to take courage and get ready and not be afraid to tell the truth to your children. Not be afraid to tell the truth to your grandchildren. I know what you want. You want to live your best life now. You want your kids to grow up in a safe world. The reality is it's not that way right now. You turn your children or grandchildren over to the public school system, they're probably going to come out different than when they went in. There is a division within our nation. There is turmoil in the world. The signs of the times are everywhere. And you can't just ignore that. You have to prepare for what we know is coming down the pike. And, with that being said, Daniel, I just want to reach out to the people that may be tuning in right now to YouTube and Facebook. Today's our first day. We took the plunge yesterday. We purchased a year of different platforms on the StreamYard. And Daniel, I want to thank you for that. You're the one that introduced StreamYard to me. And so we've launched out. We are now being viewed on Facebook and YouTube. And if you like what you are seeing, we want you to make sure you subscribe to it or just give a thumbs up. Let us know how we're doing. And there's always opportunity if you are viewing us to chat with us online. And to our friends on OmegaRadio.org, remember, if you're listening for the first time, we've created a 24/7 radio station. It's OmegaRadio.org where you can hear 24/7 Christian radio broadcasting going back in about 90 seconds, my beloved wife, Patricia Joy Xavier, will be conducting a roundtable discussion. We want to invite you to go and let people know about OmegaRadio.org. If you know somebody that has a voice that you think we should get out there, make sure you share that with us. We'll put them onto the Omega Radio streaming that's going on 24/7. And then always our friends on Blog Talk Radio, we appreciate you. That's our call-in number. You can call into our broadcast anytime at 818-369-0326. Press 1 on the dial pad. Daniel, you've been so gracious to be with us. You're nearing 3 o'clock in the morning, brother, and you look like it's 9 a.m. You look bushy-tailed and wide-eyed. And final word to our listening audience today.
Well, what would I say? What do I say at 3 a.m. in the morning? I guess I would say that do not get weary. Do not get weary in these last days, because in these last days, you're going to feel fatigued. you're going to feel fatigued with everything that's going on and hearing all these different things that are going on in the world, natural disasters, terrorist attacks, you know, viruses. But listen, don't let that get you down and don't feel fatigued. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And look, if you keep your eyes on him, everything will fall into place.
All right. Daniel 2nd, way to exhort the body of Christ. We'll see you again, Lord willing, next week. Get some rest, young man. God bless you. We want to make sure that you check out Daniel 2nd. Go to his websites there. He's out everywhere. He's all over the world. Daniel 2nd, he talks about Israel, Islam, and the end times. He's writing his great book. We can't wait to see that. So we'll talk more about that. Daniel, thanks for joining me, brother. God bless you until we meet again. Shalom. All right. And having said that, if you have been listening to this radio broadcast and you would like to support us, you could do that by simply going to any one of our websites, omegaradio.org. We'll get you there as well. Omegaradio.org. You can donate online to PayPal. We sure do appreciate you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on The Watchman. I'm Pastor Vincent Xavier. Until we meet again. Shalom. Right now on the OmegaRadio.org, Patricia Joy Xavier will be leading a roundtable discussion.